was not from the Bani Israel. She was a Hittite. According to Judaic law, the nasab and the genealogy and the of a person is not from the side of his father, but from the side of the mother. Keeping this particular fact in mind, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, whom the Jews claim that they is their prophet, and they even make mention and they lay claim to the land of Israel on the basis of the kingdom of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, according to Judaic law, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was not even a Jew. Because the nasab and the genealogy according to Judaic law goes from the mother's side, and the mother of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the third wife of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, was a Hittite, and she was not even a Jew. So in present day circumstances, keeping in mind that a Jew from any part of the world today can go to Israel and lay claim and become a citizen of Israel, and someone who is perhaps right there and born there, he cannot become a citizen even if he has been forcibly taken away from the land. Keeping this principle in mind, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam today would have found it difficult to become a citizen of Israel. This is the fact with regard to your own law. But be as it may, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam's incident is made mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places in the Holy Quran, and also in the 23rd Supara in particular. We will make mention of this also towards when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala conquers Jerusalem. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, the king of Palestine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him a kingdom that perhaps no one has ever been granted such a kingdom. Allah ta'ala makes mention, وَلِي سُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاسِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam used to travel towards that land which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Now again, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam rebuilds Masjid Aqsa and Baitul Maqdis. The fascinating account of his building of Masjid Aqsa is made mention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 22nd supara of the Holy Quran in Surah Sabah. And there we find indications and reference that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had the jinnat under his control, and the jinnat, they started, you know, under the supervision of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, they built the Baitul Maqdis and Masjid Aqsa. And when his time came to leave and depart from this world, he expressed a concern to Allah. Oh Allah, if I depart now, you take my ruh, then they will not complete the masjid. They are completing it because of my authority. If my authority is no more over them, they are not going to complete the Masjid Aqsa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then referred to him and said, Oh Sulaiman, you put your head and your chin on your stick. We will take your soul there, and you will remain in that particular place until the termites eat up the stick, and then you will fall. But all the while, the jinnat will think that you are alive, and because of that authority and that awe of yours, they will continue building, thinking that you are alive, although Allah Ta'ala would have taken your soul away. Now again, employers today, you know, always complaining and said, this employees never work until we are not there, is not a new phenomenon. Old type of thing. Not only now, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's time. So this is a situation that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's building the Kaaba, the Masjid Aqsa, is made mention of in the Holy Quran. Now, why this is of great importance for us to understand, and many a times I've heard it said in various forums, various radio stations, that many a times people say that the Muslims don't regard Al-Quds and Jerusalem as sacred to them. It is hardly made mention of in the Holy Quran. Hardly made mention of in the Holy Quran. And wallah, if someone has to put that situation in front of us, very few would be able to contend, or very few would be able to answer that situation. Although the ulama has said there are over 70 references of the land of Al-Quds in the Holy Quran. 70 references. All this that I'm making mention of is in the Holy Quran. Right? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saying, Ya qawm udukhul al-ard al-muqaddasa. O my people, enter into the blessed and holy land. Allah Ta'ala is making mention of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, ila al-ardi allati barakna fiha, the land which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Where all this comes from? It comes from the Holy Quran. And I will make mention why this is also of great significance to us as we go along. Then of course, another great Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Aramiya alayhi salatu wasalam, not specifically made mention by name in the Holy Quran, but his reference is made mention in the Holy Quran. He lived within live in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds. And he warned the Bani Israel of a punishment if they do not change their ways. Allah once again makes mention of this in the 15th surah of the Holy Quran. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ We had decreed in the book that the Bani Israel would make major corruptions twice in terms of their amals and deeds. Twice. لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا Hazrat Maulana Sajjad Nomani makes mention of a very ajeeb point with regard to this. Very amazing point. He said that because of these two traits of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought a punishment upon the Bani Israel. What was those two traits? One was raising corruption in the earth, and one was ulu, superiority and arrogance over other people. Just keep in mind these two things. Fasad, corruption, and superiority and pride and arrogance over other people. See, today if you look at the powers, they have these two very same traits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, in a similar manner will one day deal with them the way he dealt with these people who had these traits, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came upon them. And what happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ That when the first of those promises about Allah's punishment coming upon them because of their misdeeds came to pass, Allah sent a person whom Allah in the Holy Quran says was one of my servants. Although, in terms of history, he was a tyrant ruler. But Allah Ta'ala makes mention of him as one of the servants of Allah because he was the vehicle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment coming upon an unruly people and coming upon a disobedient people. And when he came upon the Bani Israel, he destroyed them to the extent that he even showed disrespect to Masjid al-Aqsa. Historians make mention that he entered into the Masjid al-Aqsa and he made and he put his horses and he made Masjid al-Aqsa into a stable for his horses. And he entered into the innermost recesses, فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ right into the innermost recesses of the homes. And he destroyed them, he looted their wealth, he took their woman into captivity. In this particular way, Allah Ta'ala says that this was because of the... And while he was carrying out this, the Bani Israel were heard to be saying, if only we would have heeded the warnings of Aramia. So Bukhtar Nazar said, who is this Aramia you are talking about? So he met Aramia, and being a prophet, he was highly impressed with the conduct and the character of Aramia. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of Aramia in another place in the Holy Quran, أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على أروشها. After Jerusalem and Al-Quds at this junction was completely laid to waste, destroyed, Aramiya came later on and seen the desolation of this place. He showed regret, and he saw the land and he saw the city in this particular place, and he made dua to Almighty Allah. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, as a miracle, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala made him go to sleep for almost a century. And Allah Ta'ala brought him back to life. And after bringing him back to life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the city in front of his eyes. This is made mention in the third surah of the Holy Quran. Now this was the first of the promises that came to pass upon Bani Israel when they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can continue with this particular aspect. One very important aspect, although we said that the era of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is the era which the Jews lay claim on the land of Jerusalem, which they say on that basis, we are the custodians and we are the people who are supposed to be in charge of Jerusalem. Just keep this in mind, that particular kingdom lasted only for 96 years. Lasted only for 96 years. The sovereignty and the kingdom over Jerusalem by Muslims was far more than that. And yet, they say it with boldness that because of this, we are the people who are supposed to lay claim to Jerusalem. But that particular United Kingdom upon which they based their claim, it was only for 96 years. And this particular aspect continued. The Bani Israel, under Daniel alayhi salatu wasalam, they regrouped. Allah Ta'ala helped them because of their conduct being good. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi makes a very amazing point with regard to this. He said, when you look at the history of Islam, and we look at various, the rise and fall and different phases of Islamic history, he will say that the glorious periods of Islam coincided when the conduct and the a'mal of the Muslims were the greatest.